This is a production of Cornell University.
GPSA meeting November 2nd, 2009.
Thank you everyone for coming this evening. This is the second last discussion meeting for the semester. The last meeting will be on December 7th. So again, thank you for coming today. Kent Hubble is absent today. He's recovering from the flu. Wanted to mention that. As far as today's agenda, we will have executive updates. Then we will have another update from Mike Walsh, the student trustee. Float Day will be presenting. Cornell Cinema will also have a short moment to hand something out to you and possibly say a few words, giving you an update. Then we will have the discussion of the activity fee that will take up the bulk of the meeting. And finally, we'll cover some new business with a new resolution that's going to be introduced into the voting meeting. Okay. So, Nighthawks does not have any updates. Okay, I'll start with my update. First of all, we have the survey. It's been out now for, I think, 2 weeks or so. If you haven't taken it yet, please do so. I will send out a reminder after this meeting. But again, I hope that you all have taken it and that you are urging your colleagues to take it as well. It's been very useful for getting more of an idea about what students are thinking. We've had about 130 respondents thus far, and Dave Walden will talk a little bit more about how what the opinions are with regards to the activity fee in the survey. So again, if you haven't taken it already, please do so. It's everywhere. It's on the blog. It's on Facebook. It's on the website. And it's in your email, probably. Okay, and yeah, it looks like that. So, the survey. I just also wanted to announce that GPSA is sort of looking for a looking to reinvent its image. We're looking. This is a logo competition, so if any of you are artistic or visually savvy, please we welcome your submission. We're basically the themes we've embraced this year include participation, sustainability, and diversity. This logo would go on possible merchandise, either T-shirts or mugs. And more importantly, it will go on Facebook and on the web. So we'll have one, you know, GPSA logo that's hopefully designed by graduate students. Jamie Guillory and Ben Huebner will be the contacts for that. So yeah, their emails are there, and you can also email me. Thank you. Okay, that's all from me. Now Brian's going to give his update.
I yield my time tonight. I'll just send out an email with my updates. I yield it to Street.
Hi, everyone. I said three minutes ago that the Ed Committee has a blog up on the same blog page section on the same GPSA blog. We're going to update it and advertise on there as well as Facebook. And I'm going to get back to you guys as to what kind of presentation you'd like to see us put together. So if you have any suggestions, please look it up on the blog. You can go to the blog, and on the right-hand side, there's there are tags for various topics, and just click on events, and that's what you can get for you.
Great. Mike?
Okay, the Board of Trustees had its October meeting here on October 22nd and 23rd. Not much to report coming out of that, but there was a master's program in information science created, so look forward to having a couple new students on campus next year in information science. Also, the Board of Trustees endorsed the climate action plan, which was also endorsed by the GPSA a month ago. Other than that, I think that's pretty much it.
Perfect. Good. Is Float Day ready to speak?
Yeah. We have some representatives from Float Day here that are going to give a quick presentation. Like, we'll talk for 5, 6, 7 minutes, and then we'll open up for questions. You guys just want to probably come up here?
Yeah. Hello, everyone. My name is Dan Tracy. I'm the chair of the School Board Review Board.
I'm Kate, I'm the vice chair. I'm Karen, I'm the administrative director.
Right. And we are the group of students charged with planning and executing the event that we call the Float Day. This is a board that deals directly with the selection of the artists and the programming for the day of, and a part of the president of the board is the Flip Day Logistics Committee, which comprises members of the board as well as faculty administrators who discuss small logistical issues about the Flip Day. And then there's a third body to the government of Flip Day, which is the Flip Day Steering Committee, which is chaired by myself and Dean Hubble, and we talk about more abstract issues of Flip Day and really what is the future of the event, the future of Flip Day, on what we need to do and how can we make it a community-wide event. Last year, when we began the funding process, we put in an initial request of $4. Without having the Flip Day 2009 statistics, the scanner statistics we collect today, that information takes a while to can be sorted and compiled by Connect and sorted out mid-summer. There's been issues in the past with parities, funding parities for this day between the undergraduate and graduate students. Looking at those numbers of Flip Day 2009, our board came up with a number of suggested parity of $3.24 down from $4. And from there, from the appropriation committee, it was recommended that $282 be the appropriation amount put forward for discussion. From the perspective of this board, when we're talking about what is parity and how much different constituencies of students should be contributing to this event to really make it successful and really incorporate everyone from the student body. We, I think, at a point where we, as the Flip Day Programming Board and GPSA, may need to consider different ideas, different ways to fund this event. Because from the stance of the Flip Day Programming Board, $3.24, even though it's a number of parity, even though it's a number that in the appropriation committee, we were hesitant almost to approve that as an amount that would be an acceptable contribution from the student assembly, the GPSA. Still looking at the overall budget for that day and the contribution that's made from the GPSA for the number of students that attend. We feel as though if a number were to be recommended, a suggestion that is lower than parity, maybe it's gotten to the point where we should consider issuing card tickets to graduate students who would be treated as a unique community, not alumni, not general public, something that would be discounted at a lower price than both of those. For example, we haven't formulated ticket prices yet, but if there was a pay scale, if there was a ticketing grade where it would be $25 for alumni, $30 for general public, we'd probably create a scheme where it'd be, $20 would be the cheapest to have graduate students attend this event. Because I understand, I completely understand that as graduate students, you have a different set of priorities, you have a different set of tastes and preferences than undergraduates. In the eyes of a lot of graduate members, this is a day that came primarily as an undergraduate day. Part of the mission of the programming board is to really try and create an event that is all inclusive and incorporates everyone. But we do need, it's come to a point where I think we need as a community to figure out how we can create financially viable, stable future slip days. And we have it that students, the graduate students, the part of their constituency that doesn't attend Flip Day, they won't have to carry the additional 282, 324, whatever weight that is. And the students who do choose to participate in Flip Day will simply buy a ticket, which still, compared to a national venue, this ticket would be $45 or $50, so it would still be heavily subsidized by the social program. So I wasn't sure if that would come more than the
I think you have 10 minutes total. So, if you guys are done, we'll open up for questions and you can field those. Is that right?
Sure.
Yeah.
So I'm Brian Forrest. I'm the Vice President of Operations. I think I actually emailed you earlier. So from the GTSA, we have three members who were busy working on your committee. Has that committee started meeting?
We haven't, since I reached out to the GTSA reps, I emailed them really and said, welcome to the board after speaking with you. As the year progresses, more and more we get them involved, but first knowing that we had this meeting, I kind of wanted to present this idea to you, present this situation that, from the perspective of the Social Safety Programming Board, how we see it, and I feel that your funding result will really dictate the relationship the board will have.
I mean, regardless of how the voting body decides to do it, I still think it's important that, again, regardless of how the financial thing goes, that grad students are on that committee. Because we probably still will have graduate students showing up, and we would like, you know, tell about concerns, you know, address.
Through this modeling information, there are two main concerns, because in previous years we really just had poor representation from the graduate population on campus in the Spoke Day. We've had, might have been involved with the past two Spoke Days, and liaison appointed to the board showed up maybe once or twice, and communication was pretty limited there. But through this bond funding process, what I've seen, the two main concerns, two large concerns coming from graduate students. One has to deal with the quality of selection and how they feel to graduate students, which I see as a valid concern. And also input on the Social Steering Committee, because you as a body would like more input on kind of the future development of Spoke Day and how to expect to see an event which would be more conducive, more welcoming to graduate students. And both of those are legitimate, very valid concerns that we really are concerned with.
But it just doesn't have to be those issues that you want. That's dealing with 12 days, so don't feel it's just restricted to those situations and put that on the
office.
Sure.
We go back and go to whatever, and we end up, for some reason, after the session, and then at the 324, which you guys proposed originally, that will not require extra ticketing for graduate students. That's the lowest you will accept.
Yeah. I really hate to kind of deliver it that way, because we've been thinking of all the questions, different solutions. We've been thinking of different standards you would measure parity by, based on the scope of the class, just last year's scope day. And different situations, different numbers we came to, 324 was still far and away the lowest. When we went through this process 2 years ago, the number for parity suggested then, I believe it was 625 or something in that ballpark, was a considerably higher number. That was using different formulas to reach parity. And if we were to go by that standard, I'm sure it would be a considerably higher number still.
So kind of going off this question, so 324 is the minimum amount that you would take in order for you not to charge tickets to the grad students?
Yes.
Is there like a scale system? So let's say the result comes back at $3. Is there a ticket price according to that price?
I don't think we've crunched those numbers yet. So we wouldn't know until after we get the appropriations what the ticket price is.
And then you just said $20. Was that just kind of an estimate, or was that a number?
That was just a calculated scale. Yeah, it was an example. But we would really try to subsidize graduate student tickets. So it wouldn't be purchasing a one-man ticket or a ticket for a grad.
When do you think you could have like a scale like that? Because you know we're going to probably vote on this finally in November 16th.
Okay.
I think that would be a huge piece of information for us to have, just show everybody the options. You know, if we fund this, this is what we can expect. So.
I'd have to speak with Joseph Vito, our advisor, but I'm sure I could get with
you. So.
Okay, there were some other questions out there. Yes.
Yeah, just to touch on the I think to satisfy the student, perhaps I could, from my perspective, you might be further
Have you thought that if you do have a ticket price that it would when it decreases the level of graduate student participation, that would justify us not funding you in future years because there would be no demand from the graduate students, and therefore you would then in the future be decreasing your potential funds a lot more over time for Slope Day?
Certainly.
So like the long-term repercussions would be larger?
Certainly. That is a valid question and situation. Certainly. Setting up a ticket price would be a barrier to graduate students, and graduate students who happen to be walking through campus and happen upon Slope Day will not have, those students won't have the ability to come through. But for the past, this past funding cycle and the funding cycles prior to this, when we present statistics on the number of graduate students who attended, it seems as though the argument made was this was one small percentage of your constituency, and secondly that you're not a risk community the way undergraduates are a risk community, and that's why when it comes to event management and safety, you don't quite need to contribute the same amount of money as do undergraduates, which is a very valid concern. I mean, even for financial reasons, that's the reason why the Gannett survey that goes out at the end of the year goes only to undergraduates, because they're the kids who are getting drunk and going to Gannett and doing all the extra services that are available on Slope Day. Our concern with this is not that we risk alienating future generations of graduate students, it's that we risk the financial stability of future Slope Days themselves. It's difficult to say, it is difficult to say when you're charging, even with the Concert Commission's $30,000 emergency subsidy of the Slope Day Programming Board, that with $1.50 per person, attending an event where anywhere else in any other venue, this would literally be a $50 ticket, enjoying subsidized beer, alcohol, seeing these artists, the atmosphere that's generated on Slope Day, for $1.50, even if it is for these 1,600 graduate students, if the graduate community is looking for a deal better than that, I do not think they'll find it.
Are there any other questions?
Yeah, what was the number of graduate students that came?
I think it is, this year past, we scanned in 1,592 unique graduate students and 8,831 unique undergraduate students. So just so you know, that breaks down 70% of all undergraduates attended, and they made up 64% of everyone who attended both in 2009. Undergraduate students, 13% of your constituency attended, and that made up 25% of the overall thing.
If I understand correctly, your budget last year was $234,000, and your budget being $307,000 this year.
Mm-hmm.
Have you considered not making such a huge increase in your overall budget?
Well, that was an increase from last year's budget. Last year's budget reflects a big decrease from the contribution made by the dean students. What happened during the financial crisis when that hit? Usually, depending on how much the Slope Day or any award spend on artists and how much it costs to logistically run the event, the dean of students' office traditionally would pick up the tabs for Slope Day. And years past, not in 2008, in 2007, that was the tune of $67,000. So last year, when the dean of students said they were financially unable to contribute, that's what really caused a drop in that particular budget. So it was getting the caliber of artists that we got last year, considering the situation we were in. I mean, we as a board, for reasons of our relationship with the artists and contractual obligations, try to keep honorariums private, but the reality of it is, it was phenomenal, so say 2009, for the amount of money spent, the level of programming, the quality of the talent, the artists that we got. I know a lot of people will say, well, Asher Roth and Chris Cadell, these are corporate inventions, and just smile and say, you know, these don't appeal to me at all. But considering the other bands that are available for that amount of money, and what could have brought the great amount of utility to this event, we really lucked out in last year. And this year, we may not be so lucky. And what happened in part of the study that we ended up, as part of the results of that study, there is a correlation between the caliber of the artist, the quality of the talent on the float, and the safety, the level of safety, the amount of medical transport, just the overall drinking and unsafe behavior that happens. So in 2005, when we sold out the food truck, that was actually the safest look that we've ever had, because people stay sober when they say, this is an artist, I don't feel safe. So the concern from our board is that if we were to stay where we are, if we were to decrease the quality of funding, the quality of talent, especially when artists aren't there yet, if they're not getting any money from a legal download, are skyrocketing through the roof, you're going to see more medical transport, you're going to see more unsafe, you're going to see all these issues. And regardless of whether or not the graduate community is the at-risk community, if this is really a day where we as a community come together, then I'd ask the graduates to recognize that.
Great, thank you so much. Okay, I'm going to wrap up this discussion now. Okay. And we now have some time for Cornell Cinema, so thank you.
Thank you, John.
Do you want to say anything at all? We have about 5 minutes in all. Okay, great.
Hi, I'm Mary, the director of Cornell Cinema. In case any of you didn't see an article that ran, in case you didn't see an article that ran from the news today, it was written by a number of art editors, currently and past art editors as well. I brought a copy of it, and so I'll just circulate this and so if you need a copy, I'm just thinking that it would be useful.
We also have this on our blog, so under Cornell Cinema, there are the articles from The Sun and the one Mary is referring to, the latest one did today. So if you don't get a copy, they can go there.
Yeah, yeah. I just thought it would be useful for your discussion because we haven't already read it. It does a pretty good job of laying out some of the erroneous thinking of the team assembly and the recommendation that they made. And so I don't know how much you guys have been following any of this stuff, but just thought it would be useful for you to read this and getting all the sort of reasonable presentation of the information that we have discussed last week. I also brought copies of basically a simplified budget that we provided to the SA last week. It didn't actually take this into account in their recommendation, despite it being pretty simple. Anyway, if anything you'd like this, I can pass this out, but that might not be as useful. I'm not sure.
So I guess I'll just use the rest of the time in case anybody has questions about the article we saw or anything else. I'll take a couple questions.
Okay. Does anyone have questions?
So I was looking at the charter right before the meeting, and there was something, I've only been to the cinema a couple of times, I can't remember. There's a statement in the charter about cinema that says that there should be a suggestion box. Can you comment on that?
We do have a suggestion box. It's there all the time. So there's having a little certain names that went out in Europe, and we have so we have screenings in Europe auditorium, and those suggestions get compiled periodically by the house managers, and then they come to me, and so then they're taken into account for, you know, so there are some good ideas that they would work.
Okay, thank you.
Asha has a question. Oh, do you want to go first?
So on the GPSA blog that's been going around, there was mention that because of the SA allocation towards Cornell Cinema, if the GPSA was to approve the suggested amount or the full amount, would the Cornell Cinema then not raise prices on the graduate community since we would be helping to meet their needs?
I can say definitely that if we're granted the full amount we requested, $11.75, we definitely will not raise any prices for graduate students. They will remain at $4. So that's kind of how we present things. If we're granted the full request that we determine that we need, and in this case it was because of the recession, we definitely not do that. I can't say 100% that if we're granted something below the amount that you requested, that we might not have to at least consider that option, although given the current level of funding that has been proposed by the FA, I'm gathering that I'm hoping the amount we get from the GPSA will perhaps be at least higher than what the FA is recommending. And so, the undergraduate price will definitely have to go up because of their recommendation. All I can think is that it's because that's such a severe cut, we're going to have to really explore all possibilities on how to deal with that. And so if the GPSA were to grant something less than the 11.75 that we requested, let's say you went with 11.30, for instance, so 45 cents less than what we requested, I guess within a realm of possibility that we were sort of looking at all of the different options on how to deal with the funding shortfall, that we might have to consider, raising the ticket price, perhaps for graduate students, perhaps for just certain films, like the commercial screenings on the weekend, for instance. Maybe that price would go up to $4.50, but it will mean that there will be a corresponding increase for undergraduates. I would guess at least $2, because right now, even the way that, they're kind of presenting stuff. But we really can't kind of make any promises beyond the guarantee that we will not raise the price for anything. For the graduate students, if we're granted the $11.75, hopefully we sort of need to keep options, open, just to deal with what is going to be the other severe cut to our budget if that $8.50 goes through. But I think it's unlikely that you can see anything beyond $4.50 of the ticket price, and perhaps just for certain screenings, perhaps just on the weekend, just for commercial screenings.
Okay, we have about one more minute. The last question will be for...
So I appreciate when you say that you'll be adjusted for it, so that settles my mind a lot. Time-wise, when do you think that would come out? When would you let the public know, both for the undergrads and grads, when, how the adjustment would occur? Would that be during the spring? When would that be?
I would think as far as a permit differential based on what's decided about the activity fee, presumably that would start at the beginning of the next 15 years, which is July 1st. It's possible that kind of separate from that to deal with the deficit this year without knowing actually any help is coming next year because of this cut from the SA.
So before July.
We might have to address the possibility of raising the price. I think we would probably only do it for undergraduates instead of just for commercial screening. And that's something that we would have to discuss with them next year.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mary. Thank you.
I'm going to request a chance to reply to the since her and the article have made a blatant attack towards the student assembly, both with my and Lily Aton.
Okay, you have 1 minute.
First of all, I'd just like to clarify to the rest of the group that any information that was put in front of us was considered making our decision. As you just stated that you don't think we took the information you put in front of us into consideration as far as the legislative information. Also, on top of that, I'd like to ask you a couple questions for some of the attacks that have been towards us. So we've been alleged of making false allegations that we say that part of the money that is allocated both towards the GPSA and some of the SA is being used towards staff and administrator salaries. You clearly stated multiple times that your entire salary was included in the budget and 75% of it shouldn't have. So my question then is, does that mean 25% of your salary is in the budget? Also, the other question that I had was, you say that you both average film attendance, 110 people per film. However, isn't it true that many of your films have multiple screenings, and you have 111 screenings, which has 120 people? And my final
That's fine. Thanks.
Can I call for orders of the day?
Yes. Mary, can you respond can you ask this question after the meeting? If Mary's available?
I believe that according to parliamentary procedure, Mike Walsh called for the orders of the day. And according to the orders of the day, we are now 1 minute past the agenda in which Dave Walden is scheduled to give a presentation. So I would ask the voting members, if we are in favor of moving on to Dave Walden's presentation, please raise your placards in favor. That's a majority. Thank you. And Mary, thank you for your time, and thank you for your comments. And everyone, so we'll be moving on. But if anyone has additional questions for Mary, please contact her.
Okay. Just going to walk you through kind of how we've gotten to today. So October 7th and 8th, as you guys know, was our mass meetings with the bylaw groups, the groups that we felt we need to get more information from. We met with them for a half hour. Some of the more debatable ones, such as Sophie and Cornel Simmons, they got about an hour of time with us. In that meeting, we talked kind of about their application. We had had the applications reviewed beforehand, and we had some pre-prepared questions for them, and we got those answered. As you guys know, in the last advisory meeting, we asked for your input. We got a couple of questions which we got addressed in those meetings as well. And that brings us to the 19th, which was the day that I presented the initial recommendations to the voting council. And I believe there's a copy of that floating around somewhere.
We'll be passing them out when we're ready. So you get a closer look at them.
All right, and then that brings us to today, November 2nd. I'll talk more about how this is going to work in a minute. So just kind of our thought process and how we came to these decisions. There were a couple of rules that we were binding by. The charter says that the activity fee needs to be a full, even number. So if we're looking at our current activity fee, it's $70, and we cannot fund anything above what was requested, which basically gives us the range of 70 to 76. And then also the GPSA SC amount has to be at least 35% of the total activity fee as stated by the charter. Questions on that? Okay, so how we came to these numbers? There were certain groups that presented good application. The rationale, the justification was solid. We just kind of felt good about them. A good example of that would be Big Red Barn. They didn't ask for an increase over last year. As you guys know, Big Red Barn is the graduate place. They're really working within their budget to make ends meet. They've enacted a couple of programs to kind of boost the revenue and cut out costs. So once we kind of had those in place, we looked at some of the more debatable ones, such as Slope Day, Cornell Cinema, and then Athletics, which we did not have too much time to discuss in last October. How we came to those numbers was more or less consensus between the appropriations committees. It's important, and I know if you guys have been checking the blog, but one of the things, some of the people on the blog are saying, if we take money away from this group, we give it to this group. I would ask, and what we tried to do was look at each group individually and not kind of, you know, look at, you know, well, if we're taking money from this group, we're giving it to this group. Granted, there's naturally going to be some of that, but I ask that when you guys, when we break down our groups, think of it that way, because that's how the corporation is going to do it. So, as you can see, here's our recommendations. I'm not going to walk through all of them, but I will certainly be happy to answer any questions on the process and how we came to these meetings.
The groups that have already received an initial yes vote, mm-hmm. your recommendation?
Yes.
How flexible are those numbers at this point, and what can change?
I will pass it to the parliamentary group, but I believe that they are flexible.
So, basically, the yes vote means that they will be considered in the total thing. So what will happen next is, once we finish voting yes, no on all the groups, we will then take a look at the entire activity phase, see if it meets the charter rules of the activity to 35%, is an even whole number, and at that time we can take amendments to adjust the activity fee if we want. So, for example, Cornell Cinema right now it has a yes recommendation of 11.30. That can stay or that can change. It can go up or go down, and that would be the amendment that we vote on at the voting meeting. So it's not binding, but it just means that cinema will, unless we make a recommendation to zero, but it means, which I hope doesn't happen, it just means that it will be considered in the final vote.
And Eric had talked about the survey that has gone around. How many people have actually taken the survey since to get a sample? I would encourage everybody to take this because this helps out immensely.
I thought we were putting numbers in
No, everyone, all graduate students can take
it. That was just a provisional one so that we didn't contaminate the data before the full survey went out.
Well, so, I would encourage everybody to go and voice your opinion that way. Some preliminary numbers, Derek said there's about 120-130 at this point. So the percent in favor of the current recommendation for Cornell Cinema is 71% in favor of the current recommendation. Slope Day, 43% are in favor of the current recommendation. That is the other 57 believe it's too high. EMS, there's 79% approval of the fee that's been recommended, and athletics, there's a 60% approval rate. And overall, I can't remember I don't have it with me, but I believe it was 60% was in favor of raising activity fee to $76. So granted, this is only her savings, but please get in touch with your constituents and people in the field to get more clarification.
Statistically speaking, 130 can be considered a decent sample size. That being said, we were hoping to get at least 300 respondents.
Perfect. Anything else? Any other questions?
Just a little quick one.
Sure.
Amendment vote, is that a majority or two-thirds?
For the amendment itself, that could be majority, but the final activity must be two-thirds.
Yeah, because it's not an amendment to a resolution that's already been passed, because it will be presented as a resolution altogether. So this provisional vote is not any sort of binding. But so it's not like a motion to reconsider or anything like that.
Okay, so we're at November 2nd, obviously. What we'd like to do is break out into groups and get your thoughts on the activity fee. Included in that, we'd like to get your thoughts on slope day and just kind of see in general, but as you can tell, certain groups that are going to be just more debated than others, so. Everybody in the appropriations committee will be taking, I think there's about 32 of you, so we'll be splitting into about six. So if you're on the appropriations committee, raise your hand. And then just flock to one of these people. If we can spread out into different corners, just flock until there's six or seven people there.
Go to the corner.
Oh my god, that's so good.
Thank you. Okay.
What?
Oh.
Okay, we're going to start debrief now.
So as people have comments, I'm
going to be coagulating all of them up on the screen, so they'll all be in one spot.
Yes.
So we'll just go group by group and just kind of give us the highlights of what you guys talked about. So Tom, someone to you or someone in your group wants to hype up and share.
Okay. We had a range of students from different departments here, and to give you two quick statistics. Most of us felt that $11.30 for Cornell Cinema was too low a number. And most of us felt that $2.84 for Soul Day was the right number.
Okay. Steven, you're up.
So the question of our discussion also revolved around Cornell Cinema and Soul Day. For Cornell Cinema, there was an issue. Some of them advocated $10, while others stayed at 11.30-ish in Baltimore. For Soul Day, they really were unable to reach the conclusion because of the $20, on the possibility of getting $20 ticketing slightly. And we thought, if that's some sort of example, the number he brought up, we should be able to take a look at what type of price structure the $20 he came up with. Okay. To really think about it.
Okay. Nita?
Oh,
yeah.
Well, essentially what we
worked
on was for Cornell Cinema, we
okay.
For Float Day, we had like about 5 people that said to use the world, I guess, because they didn't want to increase quality of price, essentially. And 3 people that said to
use the world. Okay. My group definitely embodied the argument or the debate that we're having. For Float Day, we had 2 that were at $324.50, $282. And of course, Cornell Cinema, we had 2 $8.50, $11, and $11.75. So we're kind of like bored.
Ride forth in the house.
Can I say that, you know, thank you all for like showing this, you know, your thoughts tonight. And I just want to also thank Dave for kind of shepherding this process through so far. I know you still have a long way to go, but this is very impressive what you've done with your committee so far and bringing us the initial recommendations. It's very well thought out, and I just want to thank you for your work so far.
Thank you.
Hey, Walt.
Stop.
Our group didn't come up with concrete numbers. However, there was a range for Slope Day from 0 to the recommended amount of 282. Generally, our group thought that Cornell Cinema should be at least 11.30, if not increased to 11.75. There was some concern expressed about the athletic amount, but we didn't really have a chance to discuss that very much.
Okay.
Is that more than 11.30?
Yes, we cut up to 11.75 on Cornell Cinema.
Okay. Well, thanks for all participating, everybody. A couple of things, again, I would encourage everybody to take the survey and really get after your colleagues to take the survey as well. And that's it. So, thank you. And yeah, by all means, check out the blog. Please post. I know I'm answering questions as well. I know people on the board are answering questions too. So, yeah.
I've been going to meet with 16 people in my department that have asked me to speak.
Any graduate or professional student is granted the same time at any voting GPSA meeting to speak. I'll be allowing each person to speak for 1 minute periods, but it will be a roving list. You know, I'll take a list of who wants to speak, and we'll come back. So anyone sitting at this table will have the same opportunity and same time to speak as anyone here or anyone out there. So everyone has the exact same speaking privileges.
And most likely Cornell Cinema will be there. Slope Day will probably be there as well. So they'll have their
right.
Athletics will probably be there as well. So. Cool. Thank you.
Okay. Great. Thank you all for taking part in this activity fee setting exercise. There's one final thing on the agenda. It's from being brought up by the Ad Hoc Sustainability Committee, the new committee that GPSA formed. Jolion's going to go ahead and give a short presentation on a resolution that will be presented at the next voting meeting.
Hi, everyone. My name is Jolion. I'm a graduate student from Australia, and I'm not in Australia. Like many of you, I've spent a lot of late nights on campus working in some regards. And one of the things I noticed on campus was that there are a lot of lights on after dark, and there are still a lot of lights on after basically everybody's gone home. So over the course of a couple of weeks, I started documenting how many lights are left on in Rockefeller, which is a basic task, and calculated the energy costs that was making. We have had the number that there's about $300 of electricity being wasted in Rockefeller Hall each week just because lights aren't being turned off. There are over 260 billion on campus. If you extrapolate that number and assuming that some 5 or 10% of buildings on campus waste that much electricity at night, that's easily $60,000 per annum. I worked with the Students and the Environment Committee and the GPSA Sustainability Committee, and we'd like to Methodist University, we'd like something done about this. It would be far more economical to employ undergraduates, especially to turn their lights off, and both environmentally and financially. The difficulty in doing this is, of course, going to be setting something up and getting some funds to get started. But we would like to send a message to the administration that, hey, we think there should be something done about this. We've got a post on the blog, the URL down the bottom here. We'd really like your input. People from graduate students in every field over which buildings on campus don't have good light usage. I know Rockefeller Hall because that's where I work as a citizen. I don't know much about the art squad. I don't know anything about the towers, buildings. I don't know anything about the engineering buildings. So we'd love to get feedback from the graduate students at large. We've written up a resolution on the next slide. Basically asking the university administration to look at how lighting is being used on campus and how it can be reduced. That's the $60,000 number that I came up with as an estimate corresponds to 1/1000 or 21% of Cornell's carbon dioxide emissions grounds based on what the Cornell Climate Action Plan suggests. And I think we should be doing our outreach to starting on the climate action plan on the way. I've written a letter in conjunction with both committees putting forward the suggestion, and we hope we'll get a response from the administration.
Are there any questions regarding this?
And what is it there for?
With a brown t-shirt.
Oh, yeah. I was pretty nervous, and I was wondering if there are any initiatives to consider things other than lights.
Such as heating and TV.
Yeah, there are boilers, pipe insulation, building HVAC, the lubricant they use in the university vehicles. There's many, many, many.
There's many, many things. A lot of those we can't do anything about. Flipping off lights, which is something we can do something about. And something that we students can organise on as we find out. I have no say whatsoever in how we can use these kind of vehicles, but I do know that when I walk out of the room, I smell the light.
And these are all possibilities that can be addressed through the Ad Hoc Sustainability Committee if you're interested in sending suggestions.
And there's an Office of Sustainability on campus, you know, administratively, with the, you know, David Scoring and whatnot that addresses this.
Yep.
Maybe one long-term solution could be the Chief Motion Center
The funding to install motion sensors on campus has been cut to financial crisis. They are in a process, or the utilities and energy management people want to roll that out over the entire campus, and they're doing it in chunks. That would be a great thing to do eventually as long-term goals, but this is something we can do now until that is done.
Any other questions? Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Anna. although the next the voting meeting where we'll be debating on the final activity fee allocation, next two Tuesdays from now, if you want to come, you know, in the Big Red Barn, two Mondays from now, 5:37. We're going to be spending most of that talking about the activity fee, but we are going to have 5 minutes just to have a little debate and passing of this resolution possibly. So if you have something on that resolution or you want to see it, that'll be going on at the meeting as well.
Okay, before I motion to adjourn, is there anything else anyone wants to bring up now during open forum? Yes, Ben.
I'd just like to make a plug-in for the blog, sometimes the administrative blog, and that is, all the voting members, you should post something to the blog. You all have accounts, but you should at least introduce yourself. And all the advisory committee members, you should contact your voting rep and bug them to post their issues on the blog, too. So you get at least one post a week, and maybe that's a decent discussion, and you can actually be more involved. So, use the blog. Thanks.
Anything else?
Motion
okay,
to adjourn.
Great, yes, thank you. Motion to adjourn.
In favor.
I'm going to be coagulating all of them up on the screen, so they'll all be in one spot.
What? The what?
How do you want them to work? By group?
Yeah, we'll
by
group.
Yes.
So we'll just go group by group and just kind of give us the highlights of what you guys talked about. So, Tom, if someone to you or someone in your group wants to type up and share.
Okay. We had a range of students from different departments here, and gave you two quick statistics. Most of us felt that $11.30 for Cornell Cinema was too low a number. And most of us felt that $2.84 for Slope Day was the right number.
Okay. Steven, you're up.
So the crux of our discussion also revolved around Cornell Cinema and Slope Day. For Cornell Cinema, there was a mixed view. Some of them advocated $10, while others stayed with 11:30-ish in the ballpark. For the Slope Day, they really were unable to reach the conclusion because of the possibility of getting $20 ticketing slightly, and we thought that's a sort of example, the number he brought up, we should be able to take a look at what type of price structure the $20 he came up with, okay. To really think about.
Okay. Nita? Oh, yeah.
Well, essentially what we had on was for Cornell Cinema, 7 people in our group said $11, and 6 people said $11, and 7 people said $11.30, and 7 people said
okay.
For Slope Day, we had like about 5 people that said we were a little bit who didn't want to increase all the ticket price, and 3 people that agreed.
Okay. My group definitely embodied the argument or the debate that we're having. For Slope Day, we had 2 that were at $324.50, $282. And of course, Cornell Cinema has 2 $8.50, $11, and $11.75. So we're kind of all on the board.
Ryan Boston.
Yeah.
Can I just say that, you know, thank you all for like showing this, giving us your thoughts tonight. And I just want to also thank Dave for kind of shepherding this process through so far. I know you still have a long way to go, but this is very impressive what you've done with your committee so far and bringing up the initial recommendations. Were very well thought out, and I just want to thank you for your work so far.
Thank you.
Hey, Walt.
Stop.
Sorry, yeah.
Our group didn't come up with concrete numbers. However, There was a range for slope day from zero to the recommended amount of 282. Generally, our group thought that Cornell Cinema should be at least 1130, if not increased to 1175. There was some concern expressed about the athletic amount, but we didn't really have a chance to discuss that very much.
Okay.
Is that more than 1130?
Yes, we set up to 1175 on Cornell Cinema.
Okay. Well, thanks for all participating, everybody. A couple things, again, I would encourage everybody to take the survey and really get after your colleagues to take the survey as well. And that's it. So, thank you. And yeah, by all means, check out the blog. Please post. I know I'm answering questions as well. There's people on the floor answering questions too. So, yeah.
I've been doing a meeting with multiple people in my department that asked me if I wanted to speak. Like,
any graduate or professional student is granted the same time at any voting GPSA meeting to speak. I'll be allowing each person to speak for 1 minute period, but it will be a roving list. You know, I'll take a list of who wants to speak and it will come back. So anyone sitting at this table has the same opportunity and same time to speak as anyone here or anyone out there. So everyone has the exact same speaking privileges.
And most likely Cornell Cinema will be there. So they will probably be there as well. So they'll have their right. Yeah. Athletics will probably be there as well. So. Cool. Thank you.
Okay. Great. Thank you all for taking part in this activity fee setting exercise. There's one final thing on the agenda. It's from being brought up by the Ad Hoc Sustainability Committee, the new committee that GPSA formed. Jolyon's going to go ahead and give a short presentation on a resolution that will be presented at the next voting meeting.
My name is Jolyon. I'm a city graduate student at Australia. Like many of you, I spent a lot of late nights on campus working in some regards. And one of the things I noticed on campus was that there are a lot of lights on after dark, and there are still a lot of lights on after basically everybody's gone home. So over the course of a couple of weeks, I started documenting how many lights are left on in Rockefeller for the basic start, and calculated the energy costs that was making. We came up with a number that is about $300 of electricity being wasted in Rockefeller Hall each week just because lights aren't being turned off. There are over 260 billion on campus. If you extrapolate that number, and assuming that some 5 or 10% of buildings on campus waste that much electricity at night, that's easily $60,000 per annum. I work with the Student and the Environment Committee and the GPSA Asset Sustainability Committee, and we'd like to present it at the next university. We'd like something done about this. It would be far more economical to employ undergraduates, especially to turn these lights off and both environmentally and financially. The difficulty in doing this is, of course, going to be setting something up and getting some money to get started. But we would like to send a message to the administration that, hey, we think there should be something done about this. We've got a post on the blog, with the URL down the bottom here. We'd really like more input from people from graduate students, Harry Field, over which buildings on campus don't have good light usage. I know Rockefeller Hall because that's where I work in citizenship. I don't know much about the art squad. I don't know anything about the towers, buildings. I don't know anything about the engineering buildings. So we'd love to get feedback from the graduate students at large. We bring up a resolution on the next slide. basically asking the university administration to look at how lighting is being used on campus and how it can be reduced. That's really $60,000 number that I came up with mentioned corresponds to 1/1000 or 0.1% of Cornell carbon dioxide emissions per annum based on what the Cornell Climate Action Plan has presented. And I think we should be doing our outreach to starting Cornell Climate Action Plan on the way. I've written a letter in conjunction with both committees putting forth the suggestion, and
Are there any questions regarding this?
What is it there for?
With a brown t-shirt.
Oh, yeah. I was just wondering if there are any
an emphasis to their things other than lights.
Such as heating and TV?
Yeah, the boilers, pipe insulation, building HVAC, the lubricant they use in emergency vehicles. There's many, many, many.
There's many, many things. A lot of those we can't do anything about. Clicking off lights, which is something we can do something about. And some people are choosing to organize something we can't do about. I have no say whatsoever in how lubricants are used in front of vehicles. But I do know that when I walk out of the building, out of the room, I turn off the lights.
And these are all possibilities that can be addressed through the Ad Hoc Sustainability Committee if you're interested in sending suggestions.
And there's an Office of Sustainability on campus, you know, administratively, with the, you know, data scoring and whatnot that addresses this.
Yes.
I was
just
going
to
point out that any long-term solution
The funding to install motion sensors on the campus has been cut to the finance budget. They are in the process. So the utilities and energy management people want to roll that out over the entire campus, and they're doing it in chunks. That would be a great thing to do potentially as long-term goals, but this is something we can do now until all this stuff.
Any other questions? Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Lauren. And although the next the voting meeting where we'll be debating on the final activity fee allocation, next two Tuesdays from now, if you want to come, you know, in the Big Red Barn, two Mondays from now, 5:30 to 7:00. We're going to be spending most of the time talking about the activity fee, but we are going to have 5 minutes just to have a little debate and passing of this resolution possibly. So if you have something on that resolution or you want to see it, that'll be going on at the meeting as well.
Okay, before I motion to adjourn, is there anything else anyone wants to bring up now during open forum? Yes, Ben.
I'd just like to make a plug-in for the blog, sometimes the administrative blog, and that is all the voting members, you should post something to the blog. You all have accounts, so you should at least introduce yourself. And all the advisory committee members, you should contact your voting rep and bug them to post their issues on the blog, too. So you get at least one post a week, and maybe that's be some discussion, and you guys can be more involved. So use the blog.
Thanks.
Anything else?
Motion to adjourn.
Okay, great, yes, thank you.
Motion to adjourn.
Okay.
In favor.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.